You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Now, a guy who travels so he can pretend he's on the lam, Pete Schwabba.
Never committed a crime in my life, folks. You got a prison record, Conrad?
Do
it. You ever been arrested? Should I? Like even for something like a misdemeanor or something?
Should I say it on the air? I don't.
Well, what's the statute of limitations? I mean, are you incriminating yourself? Maybe best not to.
No, I have not been arrested.
Welcome back to Act 2 of tonight's episode of Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. I am Pete Schwabba, Conrad Krieger, riding shotgun, as we bring you the news you truly want to hear. Movies and TV and fun stuff and music. We just had a great conversation with Piet Levy from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He has been writing about music, I mean, easily 20 years. Piet and I sat down when The Godfather of Green Bay came out. We met at Major Goolsbee's, and he did an article on me in the film, which was great. And that's how I first knew him, but I hadn't talked to him in years. So it's been great reconnecting with him. And this is the second time he's been on Nightlight, but I think we have to do that more often. He's really tapped into the music scene and always fun to talk to Piet. And we talked some miniature golfing earlier. And I think we need to remind people, Conrad, about what our question of the night is.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
Well, it's National Tourism Day. So where are you going? We still got some text to read from last hour, but that's our question of the night. I said internationally, I'm going to New Zealand. Back here at home, I would love to go back to New York. I haven't been to New York in probably 15 years. And it's just an amazing city. Really fun to visit. And again, I could live there if I had a ton of money. I'd want to do it in style, though. I don't want to be poor in New York. And then Door County, right here in Wisconsin. I would definitely go to Door County. Maybe I'd retire there. I love Door County.
It's a great place.
Remind us of your places. I know.
You know, I said Wisconsin Dells, but I'm already going there, but if I'm saying I would like to go back to Door County, and you know, my friends and I have done a trip for the past 2 years, kind of starting a thing, I feel like.
Really?
In September, around there, where we go to the Dells. Last year, yeah, we stayed at an Airbnb, and this time, you know, I'd really like to go to Washington Island, though, and maybe take a tour of some of those
shipwrecks.
Just something cool. One of those national parks he was talking about yesterday. I can't think of it now. But
yeah, the one just north of Sturgeon Bay. Cliff Wall was telling us about it, yeah.
It has a shipwreck, right off the coast.
Yeah.
When I was looking. So
there's a ton of cool stuff there.
So I got to say, I would like to go to Door County, too.
I think that's cool that you're, like, a young, single guy, and you guys are going to Door, like, I think of people that go to Door County and they go like antiquing or to craft stores. You guys are like doing it right, though. That's so fun.
You know, I forget what the place is called, but they have goats on the roof.
Yeah, Al Johnson's.
Yes.
In Sister Bay. Yeah, that's a great place.
And last year we should have got reservations probably. But last year we went for breakfast and let's just say the wait was.
Yeah.
So we went there around 11 and then we found this bar like right up the road. We just stayed there for a while instead.
Oh, what's the breakfast place in Fish Creek? I bet that's what you're talking about. I'm looking it up right now because it's going to bug me. It's like the most famous place. Julie's? No. White Gull Inn. That's it. Was that the place?
No, it was in Sister Bay.
Okay.
It was just, I can't remember what the bar was called.
Yeah.
But it had some great food in it. The only thing that was kind of sucked about is they had some nice outdoor seating. There's a bee's nest like right above it.
Oh,
so we're like,
wow.
Yeah, no, like we were out there and we're like, oh, this would be great. All of a sudden, these bees just start coming around. We're
you can't.
Let's go inside.
Yeah. You know, another place, it's not really like Door County, but it's one of my favorite places to go. My wife and I honeymoon there. We've taken our kids there, as Mackinac Island. And that is an incredibly special place. The only reason I picked Door County over Mackinac Island is because, A, it's closer and you can drive. Like Mackinac Island, you're taking a ferry and it's fun to stay on the island and rent bikes and or horses if that's your thing. But so much charm that you can't even believe it. And it's gorgeous. It's between Lake, I think it's Huron and Michigan, and the Mackinac Bridge is there. And when that sun sparkles on the water, it is absolutely beautiful and it's really picturesque. But it is not that 4 hours is that long, but it's a two lane. If you go from Marinette, it's two lanes for 4 hours. If you go around, it's even longer. But so many great places. Tell us where you're going, folks. It's National Tourism Day. That's our question of the night. Where are you going? We'll read your texts in just a minute here. But on the stream, we got to get to these. Dave Kunish says, Eastern Mediterranean cruise. Oh, there you go. Wow, great choice. May have to do a little switcheroo on my. I don't know, the cruise thing, my wife can't do cruises. She gets seasick, but, you know, maybe I do like a young Christian singles cruise or something. I'm the,
there you go.
I'm the older guy dispensing advice. That's not creepy. Stacy Sue Johnson on the stream says, hi, Pete and Conrad. Hi, Stacy. Good to have you with us tonight. During the break, this is kind of funny. During Rob Thomas's interview, we did a pre-record earlier with Rob, and the entire interview I have in a text chat window to Rob. Do you know how long it takes to erase that? It would have been faster if I deleted him as a contact, because it took me the whole break to hit the backspace. And then I tried to do like select all, but it kept only selecting a couple words. I'm like, this is ridiculous. And I don't want to send him the whole interview so he has a transcript.
That would have been hilarious if you sent that.
Believe me, I've sent worse stuff by accident. So that wouldn't have been too bad. That interview with Rob is coming up in just a few minutes. And let's get to some texts because we don't want to let too much time go by here. Annie from Watertown. Oh, we already read that, but she's so right. Young folks, I don't even know if it's young folks, Annie. It's just people that aren't familiar with real soda and sugar, or real sugar and soda. That's how it used to be before they decided they could save so much money and put high fructose corn syrup in. But I mean, ideally, we all stay away from soda anyway. Conrad's mom is checking in. She says, in the U.S., I have not seen the Grand Canyon. For international, I would like to go to France. Likewise, Paula, she says, when we lived in Wisconsin, we liked to go to Minocqua. Minocqua is beautiful.
The Florida of Wisconsin.
Minocqua, is that what they call it?
Well, it's kind of a peninsula.
Yeah? I mean, it's gorgeous. A little colder.
I went there and did some jet skiing. That was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. My buddy Mike McGuire, who is the other Marinette resident besides myself, who shot a movie there. Mike lives in L.A., and he's a producer, very talented guy. He made a film called Aquarians, and he shot it in Marinette like 8 years ago, and I couldn't believe it, but there was a movie there that I got to audition for, and it was fun to be in the film. But we went on a little tour of his film, and we spent 2 days in Minocqua and at his friend's, like, not beach house, but lake house. And, man, it was gorgeous. Like, I see why people go there and what the fuss is, you know. Very beautiful. Brian from Milwaukee says, would love to go to the Dells. I haven't been there since I was a kid. Plus, have never been to Door County. Brian, do yourself a favor. I mean, go to both places. But Door County is, yeah, if you want to just chill, it's easier. There are more water slides in the Dells. But Door County is great. He says, would love to go to Poland, being Polish. Always wanted to take a cruise and chill with friends in Florida. Only traveled the Midwest. Well, this is a darn fine place, Brian, but I hope you get to some of these places because that sounds great. Tom in the 414, he's in New Berlin. He says, golf in Ireland, see Sedona again, and visit UCLA University of Cudahy by the Bay. What is that? Visit UCLA University of Cudahy by the Lake, almost.
I don't know.
He's doing like a stream of consciousness thing. I love Tom's text. Thank you, Tom. Barb in Waukesha sent, is that Richard Marks? She sent like this meme. After I told my Richard Marx story.
I think it is.
When he locked us out. And I think she sent a meme. And it'd be fun to try to get him on the show. And he and I can go at it on the air.
You should have him in studio.
I would love to have him in studio. I've gotten over it. I mean, I was pretty pissed off. But he lost his, I mean, it's probably just better to let sleeping dogs lie. Steady Eddie. Pete, in 1993, me and my girlfriend vacationed in the states of Washington and Oregon. We went to the top of the Space Needle in Seattle, visited Crater Lake, which is 2,000 feet deep. That's crazy. And was formed by the caldera, I think he's spelled that right, I hope I said it right, of an extinct volcano. We saw gray whales and the Cascade Mountains. It was a whale of a trip. Oh, come on, Steady Eddie, you're better than that. He says, we tried to get farther down the west coast to see the redwoods in Northern California, but we ran out of time. So, Pete, my dream is to go back and visit Northern California and experience the magical redwoods. Steadfast Edward. The redwoods are incredible. Before I lived in California, I went out there on a trip with my folks and one of my brothers. And there's a picture of my brother standing in front of a redwood. To truly understand how big these trees are, you have to stand in front of them. They are incredibly girthy. They're just
That's
so
a good word for them.
You can't even imagine how big these things are until you're standing in front of it. Tom says, thanks. No, thank you, Tom. You guys have a couple minutes if you want to get an answer in, but let's do, I don't think we have time for our Larry David clip, unfortunately. Do you think we do?
Not really.
Kind of close?
Yeah, right. Kind of. But, you know, we could go back to us fighting
last
gorilla.
Week. All right, let's do that because this was a big deal, folks. It was all over the internet. Can 100 men defeat a silverback gorilla in a fight? And ultimately, NBC did a deep dive and they thought men would win, but it was only because the gorilla got fatigued. So what most people didn't know is Conrad and I, where were we? At the Milwaukee Zoo? Where did that happen again?
It was just it was Light Park, right?
Oh, it's okay. Well, lo and behold, we ran into a silverback gorilla. Only for the third time in our lives, one was out of the cage, and we decided to help corral it and get it back in the cage. We didn't want to fight it. It just kind of unfolded that way. So we tried to work our way in and help this gorilla back to the cage. It did not go well, and here is video of that encounter.
Easy, easy, easy.
Go! Get him! Conrad, get him! I'm gonna punch him in the head!
Sweep his legs!
Headlock!
You got this!
No, I don't!
Get in there!
I don't!
Get him! Come on! Oh, no! No, 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 no! Headlock! No! Kick him in the balls!
Oh! Oh, he's fighting dirty! Come on, grab him!
Oh, he's got my legs!
You got this! I got him! Oh!
He's got both my legs!
I'm sorry, buddy, I'm getting out of here!
He just threw me!
Ah! No!
I'm sorry to make you relive that, Conrad.
You know, it was a great experience. I lived through it to tell the tale.
The best part was you, like, if you were actually fighting a gorilla, you'd tell me what your game plan was. I'm going to punch him in the head. don't, let's talk. Just do. Beautiful. So Rob Thomas is coming up after a very short break tonight, folks. Tomorrow night on Nightlight is our popcorn pick of the week with our pal Aaron Carreno, the Civic Media's own. He will be here to give us his pick, and then we have DeAndre Marie coming back to the studio. That'll be fun. A singer-songwriter from here in Northeast Wisconsin. We have some pre-recorded content coming up with our pal Rob Thomas, but you want to listen to this because we talk about a lot of movies, and Rob is the guy in the know, especially if you're in the Madison area. He'll tell us all about what's going on. We'll be right back. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
We are shiny, happy people. It is a gorgeous day all over our state here in Wisconsin as we broadcast live from beautiful downtown Green Bay. Our tummies full of gelato and all kinds of good stuff here. Kicking summer off right with some extra calories. This is exciting, folks. It's always exciting when my next guest joins the show. He is kind of an authority on movies and TV and all things cultural happening down around Madison and other parts of Wisconsin. And he joins us frequently here at Nightlight. It is my pleasure to welcome the editor of the CityCast Madison newsletter and Madison-based film critic, Rob Thomas. Hey, buddy.
Hey, Pete. How are you?
Doing pretty well. How you been?
I've been good. Thanks for having me on. It's been a little while.
Yeah, it has it?
Wasn't the film festival the last time?
Oh, I guess it has been. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was trying to remember because I sent you what I had seen lately so we could discuss it. And I'm like, did we already talk about this? But then I saw the date you wrote it. And I'm like, no, I think I need a better system, Rob. I need to write an address book or get something going here. But either way, it's great to have you. And
happy to be here.
Yeah. What's new, buddy? How you doing?
Good. The weather's so nice. It's like summer movie season, I guess. We had a Marvel movie last Friday. So it's like we're in it. We've been waiting months and months for this.
Yeah, we have. And it's weird because, you know, summer movie season is here, but nothing huge is opening this weekend. I mean, there's a good variety, but like, you're right. Thunderbolts opened last week. And I seem to remember this last year that the Fall Guy opened, and then it was kind of a drought until
this is kind of a thing. If you look back, like the first week in May is always a big movie, usually a Marvel movie. And then the next week, maybe because they don't want to compete with that movie, there's almost nothing. We're like little indies and stuff like that. So it is a weird thing. Like, it starts off with a bang and then immediately backtracks. And then they're like, oh, what were you?
Exactly. And I think the same thing happened last year. It was like, all right, I guess summer movie season is here, but it seems like there would be an onslaught or every week something big would be opening. And we could talk about what's opening this weekend, I guess, but we'll get into movies and we'll talk a little bit about what's going on in Madison. But I saw that you wrote on CityCast, Seinfeld is coming to the Overture Center. We have Tim Sowers on here periodically from the Overture Center. Are you going to see that show?
No, because I have a mortgage and there are some seats available down front for $800 a pop.
How about that?
Which is, you know, an Overture, if you talk to Tim Sowers, they'd be quick to say that they didn't set those prices, that, you know, Seinfeld's people are renting the theaters, as a lot of times touring comedians and musicians do. So they set the prices, and apparently they think it's worth $800 to be right up close. Not that he does a visually dazzling show, I would say, you know, but not a lot of costume changes.
Yeah, you don't want to miss the dance numbers.
Yeah, but I guess he's a comedy icon.
That's the problem. Like, I've seen him twice live. When I was much younger in Chicago. And that is probably more of an $800 show, even though one doesn't exist, than seeing old cranky 72-year-old Jerry. You're seeing an icon. Even if I was completely loaded, I would not pay $800 to see Jerry Seinfeld. No offense to Jerry Seinfeld.
I found a story I wrote 15 years ago complaining when tickets for him were $80. So it's...
Wow.
And that was Seinfeld in his 50s. I mean, you know, and the thing is, I mean, I haven't seen him in a decade at least, but he is great. Like he is one of the best. You're like, oh, this is why he's commanding these big ticket prices, because he really is like one of the best, still one of the best at what he does. But that's pretty expensive, especially if there's no like meet and greet, or, you know, you signed your poster, or, you know, anything like that. Like, which a lot of times what you get with that VIP seating, it's just Jerry on stage.
And yeah, you're right. And there's nothing else but him telling jokes, and he's great at it. But I feel like, you know, you're right. He's one of the best, but at some point, a lot of comedians anyway, reach a point in their career. I think it's around the mid 50s where they lose their edge, and it's not him making hilarious observations. It's him sharing his thoughts, and they're not as funny. You might be still interested because it's Jerry Seinfeld, but in terms of laughter, it's very tough, I think, for stand-up comics to be funny or relevant comedically anyway, past that age. But that's just my opinion.
Well, I agree, because they're disconnected from everyday life. So what are they? And you can't make observations on, you know, how your limo driver backs into the your driveway. That's not really relatable,
right?
Except maybe for those $800 people.
Yeah, so, true. They can relate. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. There's something going on at the Sylvie you wrote about on CityCast. I have never been there. What kind of space is that, Rob? Is that a gorgeous facility?
It's not that pretty. It was designed, but it's a great space for shows because it's basically a black box, but they really designed it with the idea of like getting big tours in there easily, because the other theaters in Madison, like the Orpheum and the Barrymore, I love them, but they were old theaters that were kind of retrofitted. So, you know, if you have a big stage setup or big lights or, you know, it can be a little challenging to get in there. Whereas the Sylvie was designed for that. Yeah. It's named after the one sort of personal touch is that it's named after, the wife of a Madison icon, who Madison concert promoter, it was his wife's name, Sylvie, his late wife.
Oh,
so,
okay.
The Franks. So, so but otherwise it's just, since it opened in Madison, we get a lot of shows I don't think we would have gotten otherwise. Yeah.
All right, we're going to do a very quick break. Our guest is Rob Thomas, and I want to ask you, Rob, when we come back, I love the article you wrote, What to Do with Your Parents When They Visit Madison. So we'll dive into that a little bit. Then we'll get into movies Rob has seen, and he's seen quite a few of them, and that's always a fun part of the interview. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Rob Thomas is here, folks. It's the Civic Media Radio Network. Schwabba. Rob Thomas is with us, folks. He is here. He writes for he is the editor of the CityCast Madison newsletter and a Madison-based film critic, and he does fine work. You can also follow him at Not That Rob Thomas Substack. He does movie reviews and writes about entertainment and does fine work, and he's here at Nightlight frequently with us, visiting and hanging out like he is right now. So you wrote this article, Rob. It was great. Things to do. What made you come up with that angle? About so doing things with your parents in Madison.
Yeah.
Very funny.
So at CityCast Madison, we have a membership program called Neighbors, and people support our work and they have a monthly, sort of membership fee. And they get, aside from the satisfaction of knowing they're helping local journalism, they get a lot of perks. And one of them was we just started doing member happy hours. And we had one last week at the Muskie here in Madison. And two separate people I was talking to, two separate members, mentioned like, oh, it's hard to know what to do when your parents come to town. And I was like, that's an idea for for an article, especially since UW commencement is this weekend. So there's going to be a lot of parents going to town.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And so I was like kind of racking my brain. And, I think part of it is you live in a place you don't really think about kind of the obvious things, And so I wrote this article for CityCast Madison, What to Do with Your Parents, and sort of broke it down by, your parents love crowds, they can go to the farmer's market, go to the Union Terrace. If they like peace and quiet, they can go to Old Brick Gardens. If they like food, they can go to, the Mustard Museum. And so it was really fun. And I think it's definitely like news you can use. Like, people should bookmark that for the next time their parents come to town. I'm certainly going to.
It's fantastic. And like when my parents are there and my son went to college there, it's just a great walking town too. Like,
absolutely.
Whenever I'm in Madison, I put on 10,000 steps, it seems like, before I get out of bed, and I'm just going back and forth. And my parents love to walk. So they just like taking in State Street. Like, that's like the easiest entertainment there is. Right.
Yeah. Start at the Capitol, go down State Street, go through campus to Union Terrace. Like, that's a full day of
absolutely
right there. Yeah.
You had, for parents that like the hustle and bustle, two rooms that I've never been to, the Tornado Club and is it the La Tigra? Am I saying that right?
You've never been? Oh,
never.
We've got to take you to both those places.
Okay.
So the Tornado Club is classic Wisconsin Supper Club.
Yeah.
Great, you know, the place, you, the nice dining place you would take people to, I think, in Madison, because it's very Wisconsin, but also very nice. Great steaks, great martinis, great bar. And then Le Tigre is this, again, super retro, super funky bar that I don't think they've updated since the 60s. It's in a little strip mall on the west side. As the name implies, tiger motif everywhere. And reportedly, like, you're not allowed to swear in there. Like, it's that kind of a place. And they will admonish you if you use uncouth language. Yeah. So it's very cool that way. So, again, very good for your parents if they don't like colorful language.
Well, my mom swears like a sailor. That probably isn't the...
she'd be out in 5 minutes.
We had this, or I was reading this article about, I don't know where I saw it, but the comedian Sam Morril, who I don't know, but I just was watching a video he did. He said he was working Comedy on State a few years ago, I think, and he found the Tornado Club and he loved it. Like he said, I went there every night I was in town. The steaks were great. It was great food. I don't know how anyone could like this place. And then he went on Yelp and found the one guy who didn't. He did this whole bit about in this voice of this whiny guy who found something wrong with the Tornado Club. And it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Now, I've not been there, so I don't know. I think I would be on Sam's side, though, based on what you're
saying. Yeah, I'd side with him, too, I think. Yeah.
Rob, let's talk some movies. So you saw, is it The Legend of Ochi? Am I saying that right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That wasn't in theaters pretty fast.
Yeah.
But I quite liked it. It's an A24 film, but that's a studio known more for like horror and stuff. But this was like a family film. And very much felt like a movie set in the 80s, like Dark Crystal or Neverending Story or something like that. And it's, you know, sort of a fable about this remote village and these creatures and you know, the townsfolk are trying to, including Willem Dafoe in a very over-the-top performance, are trying to eradicate these creatures. But then this one girl finds out they're actually nice. But the cool thing is, instead of using CGI to create the creatures, it's all puppetry. And it's really cool. Like I guess they use like 7 different puppeteers for one animal. And so I thought it was really fun to watch. And so, like I said, I think it's probably already gone from theaters with Thunderbolts playing, but it's probably going to be on VOD pretty soon.
Where do you stand on, I think there's some hope here. Like, I love A24, even if I don't like a movie or it's not my style, I like the way their movies look, like the aesthetics. And I feel like there is hope. Like, everything at times, it seems like it's either franchise or Marvel. And I love Mission Impossible, but that's a huge franchise now. It seems like the people, but there are people out there making really cool films. Like, there's A24. Challengers was different. Sinners had just an old school cinema look to it. I just saw that last weekend. There's hope for movies, isn't there? In my opinion,
I think so, and I think you're right that it's like, ultimately it's those independent or just independent minded movies,
directors with power, that can get their films
clout. Yeah. They have their own vision that end up really resonating with people and getting people to the theaters because it's like, it's something different and people are really craving something different. And, you know, I wish some of these movies would stay in theaters a little longer to get just a little more word of mouth. Like, I think I talked before about Black Bag, which I thought was a great spy thriller. And something that people talked about would have gotten a little more legs, but it's already on VOD. Maybe it's already on Peacock by now. But I think, you know, I think when, like, Sinners is one that, like, I think it was bigger the second weekend than the first and was big again last weekend because people are talking about it and they're like, this is something different and you should go out and see it. So I'm hopeful that, like, that's the way forward. People go, well, you know, it's still worth going out. You know, even if you go out once a month, you want to see something special.
For sure. And it's interesting you said that because I saw Sinners last weekend and it was one of those films where I'm watching it and I go, I think I love this. But then something would happen and be just kind of different. But it was like, I totally embraced when the director would do something off guard or that I didn't expect. And I liked the movie when it ended and I stayed through the credits But I was saying this last night on the show, there was another couple there and they left before that scene at the end of the credits. And that scene at the end of the credits put me over the top. And I was like, I love this movie.
You mean that with the one with the cameo by
Buddy Guy?
Yeah, Buddy Guy. I guess.
Well, they played. They showed him playing, but then when the credit roll was over, they had an actual scene with him and Michael B. Jordan and the Steinfeld woman, Haley Steinfeld, and they came in, and it was like 30 years after it. It was just so cool.
Yeah. No, that was the movie that took big swings, and like not everyone connected. Like to me, there was maybe like one ending too many towards the end there, and it could have wrapped up.
That's but interesting.
Even when I didn't connect with it, I appreciated the swing. I was with a friend of mine, and he was more mixed on it, I think, because things just weren't working for him. But for me, most of it worked great, and the stuff that didn't quite work, I just appreciated that Ryan Coogler, the director, was trying something and using that clout, like we said, to do something really different and personal and like super entertaining. Like I've been thinking about that movie ever since I saw it, because there's so much cool stuff in it.
Same with me. I'm the same way. That's a great way to put it. Still think it stays with you. And what you said is true. Like the film came out and then the next week only had a 6% drop off. That's unheard of with any film, especially horror. And how does word of mouth, like you said, word of mouth, and I think you're right, but how does that travel that quickly? I know it got great reviews, but that must have spread like wildfire to get that many people to go during week number two.
Yeah. I mean, maybe I did see, like I lurk on TikTok and I did see people posting a lot of TikTok scenes and memes and stuff like that. I think that helps a lot, I think. And that film has a lot of little moments that, like I said, have people talking and thinking about it. So
absolutely.
You know, whatever happened, it worked. And they've got to figure out a way to do it again with other movies, because that was a real phenomenon.
Totally agree. Let's talk about, you wrote about Fight or Flight. You did a review on your Substack. You can follow Rob's Substack at Not That Rob Thomas. He is my guest right now, and he is a Madison-based film critic. We're talking movies. I read a little bit about Fight or Flight because I talk about for Civic Media what's coming up this weekend and what's opening.
Right.
I read kind of a brief synopsis, and I thought, this sounds so stupid. But then your review, and you're a guy I totally trust, I'm like, oh, maybe I got to see this, you know? And I thought it was Chris Pratt at first in the picture. And I'm like, there's no way I'm seeing this movie. And then I'm like, oh, Josh Hartnett. Okay. So, you know, you liked it though.
It's stupid. I mean, you're not wrong, but it's sort of that stupid kind of action movie that can be a lot of fun if you're in the right frame of mind. And it's, if you ever saw the movie Bullet Train, it's basically the same plot where the hero is stuck on a plane instead of a train, obviously, with a bunch of killers. He's trying to find this terrorist, and it's just one fight scene after another. It gets more outrageous, gets more violent and over the top as the movie goes on. I mean, ridiculously so. But the thing was, like, I really dug Josh Hartnett in this. And I remember 20 years ago, like, he was sort of like the pretty boy of the moment in movies like Pearl Harbor and seemed to have no personality on screen, as at least I thought. It was really kind of like being pushed as the next hot young star. He kind of went away, and now he's been back the last couple of years with Oppenheimer. He had a good supporting role.
Trap,
and then now this, and it's like he's got some seasoning and he's really fun to watch. Like, and so he's certainly the best thing about Fight or Flight, which is like we talked about, one of those movies that come out the second week of the summer when it's like, you know, all these little movies or B movies, I guess, that aren't really big summer movies. But you know, if you like that sort of thing, it's pretty fun.
It's so funny. Like I'm so like I get why Hollywood likes that. Oh, it's all on a train or it's on a plane, and it creates this limitation and this ticking time clock and all that stuff. But it's most of the time so unbelievable. I'm waiting for them to come out with a movie set like in a bike taxi or something. Like he's got 2 hours and he's gonna get the.
That reminds me of this is a long time ago. There's this movie Fridays, or this TV show Fridays, like Saturday Night Live.
Oh yeah,
and they were making fun of disaster movies like Airport, Towering Inferno, and they had a parody called Escalator, where all these people were trapped on an escalator. It was perfect.
Yeah. That's awesome. Rob Thomas is here. We'll have a couple more minutes with him after we do a very short break. And I just want to let you guys know, tomorrow on the show, Aaron Carena will be here doing the popcorn pick of the week. And then we've got live entertainment singer-songwriter Deandra Marie comes into the studio. This will be her second time here, and she'll perform live. Always fun to see Deandra, and she's great. So tune in for that. We'll have a few more minutes with our pal Rob Thomas after a very short break. Don't go anywhere. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight, and you're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabe. We are about to wrap things up here. If you do, our question tonight was in honor of National Travel Day, where would you go? And if you did text over the last few minutes, this is pre-recorded content. We will read your text tomorrow. We'd like to leave no text unturned, so still go ahead and share that with us, and we will read it tomorrow night. But we have a few more minutes with our guest right now, Rob Thomas, who is the CityCast, CityCast Madison newsletter editor. It's a great publication. Check it out. There's, especially if you live in Madison, but even if you don't, there's all kinds of fun stuff in there. And like we discussed earlier, Rob found a nice angle and wrote an article about what to do in Madison with your parents. And there's all kinds of options. That kind of stuff is what you'll find in the newsletter. And it's just great. Rob, so we've got a few more minutes here. I want to try to get through a couple quick reviews if we could do that. I think the last time you were here, I had seen Last Breath, but you had not. And I thought it was great. And you gave a review of that. You seem like you were a big fan.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. And I just reviewed the Blu-ray. And I was, first of all, I'm just happy movies are still coming on Blu-ray with everything on streaming now. True story about this diver being rescued from the bottom of the sea, diver who fixes oil pipelines. The director made a documentary about it and then went back and has made a fictional film, and Woody Harrelson's in it. And it's really good. Partly because I think the attention to detail and authenticity, like you really feel like what these divers go through and what it's like when something goes wrong. Like it really reminded me of Apollo 13 in the sense of like,
oh, yeah,
you've got everybody trying to work together, like the divers and the people on the surface and trying to solve the problem and get this guy back. And I think that is also on Peacock if you prefer streaming, but I was just happy to get a Blu-ray, had a commentary track, and had a gag reel, all that stuff. So that was a lot of fun.
That's awesome. I liked it too. And I don't know if, like, I don't think we talked about this last time, but there was no bad guy in it. It was just a great, like, rescue this guy, get him to safety. You know, it was so much fun. And that was a real life miracle, because that is based on a true story. And how long that guy went without oxygen, I'm like, okay, this is a true story, but he's going to be, you know, a vegetable the rest of his life or something.
Right.
It was an incredible story.
Yeah. And they can't explain it. They have some theories into how he managed to survive that. But that's sort of one of the cool aspects of the story, is just, you just don't know. He was totally fine. Yeah.
Real quick too, you watched the Cheech and Chong doc. I've not seen that. How is that?
It's interesting. It's mixed. The thing I liked about it was their early days, like how they met I thought it was totally fascinating. Like I had no idea. Like I watched the movies when I was 10 on HBO when I wasn't supposed to. But they met like in the Vancouver comedy scene in the 60s, and like Tommy Chong ran a strip club, and Cheech Marin was like a draft dodger who went up there. And It's that part of the documentary is really interesting. Like, it's interesting because in the movie, I think they don't like each other. Like, I think they're and I think you see them really argue on screen, and I think it's very sincere. And they had a big falling out over money in the 80s, and the film tries to come up with sort of a happy reconciliation, but it feels very fake to me. But what's kind of more interesting is their story and what they went through. I mean, they were huge in the 70s. They would open for the Rolling Stones, and they had, they made $1 million deals on movies. And so it's an interesting story. I mean, I will say I don't think I've really found them that funny, they're interesting guys for sure.
I don't think I've talked about this with you, but when I was a stand-up, I told this story on the show a couple weeks ago. I went up to Winnipeg, and I was headlining before I was ready to be headlining. They brought me up, and I didn't have a whole lot of clout or anything. And they said they were going to put me in a hotel. They put me in a room above the comedy club that smelled like weed and body odor. And I was like, you know what? I have some dignity. And I called the club and I said, I can't stay in here. It's disgusting. I'm going to vomit. It smells like weed and it smells like, body odor. It's horrible. He said, oh, really? Tommy Chong stayed there last week. He didn't say anything. I'm like, well, there you go. That's
probably. Yep.
So they put me at the Ramada.
At some point, you stop smelling it, probably.
Probably, right? But that was as close as I got to Tommy Chung. Rob, we got about 60 seconds left. Where do you stand on Marvel? You mentioned the first film that usually comes out as a Marvel, in the summer anyway, is a Marvel film. Are you a fan, or do you appreciate it, or do you love it? Where do you stand on Marvel films?
I think right now I'm taking on a movie-by-movie basis. Like for a few years there, I would see everything, partly because my stepson was obsessed with it when he was younger. And I feel like now it's like hit and miss. Like, I actually really liked Deadpool versus Wolverine last summer.
Okay.
But the Captain America one I saw in the spring didn't really do it for me. So, Thunderbolts is getting pretty good reviews. I think I'll give it a shot. But
yeah, me too.
I kind of think they're past their peak. I don't think they'll ever get back to where they were, 10 years ago when the Avengers were really at their prime.
Go ahead, Conrad.
I agree with you. Captain America was not a good movie.
No.
But Thunderbolts.
He loved it.
I loved it. I think they came back after that, a horrible movie. So I think they are going in the right direction, because I think Fantastic Four will be good as well. So.
We'll see.
I hope so.
We'll
see. I'm never rooting against them. I just want them to be good.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, exactly.
Rob, thank you, buddy. Always fun. Let's not wait so long next time. Great having you on the show, as always. Have a great night. Enjoy Seinfeld if you don't go. See you later, buddy.
I'll save my $100. Yeah, thanks,
Pete. Okay, thanks. That's Rob Thomas. Also, thank you to Piet Levy and all your texts and calls. Thank you to the lovable producer, Conrad. This was fun, folks. I'm Pete Schwabe. Good night, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.